Sheriff Deputy Scott Peterson was the lone armed officer at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School when a former student brought an AR-15-style assault rifle to the school and opened fire. But Deputy Peterson did not go toward the sound of gunshots. Instead, according to witnesses and surveillance footage, he remained outside the building with his gun drawn. He never moved to confront the shooter. On Tuesday, more than 1 year after the shooting, Deputy Peterson was arrested. He's now facing up to 97 years in prison over criminal charges for child neglect due to his, quote, inaction during the shooting. A report released earlier this year said that Peterson was in a position to engage the school shooter and to reduce harm to others, but that he, quote, willfully decided not to do so. The Peterson case has put the national spotlight on the role of school resource officers and whether having a police presence actually makes students and schools safer. But protecting students and staff from mass shootings is only one tiny slice of what school resource officers like Peterson are supposed to do.
On a given day, they may be dealing with building level security. They may be helping a student with an issue that they're having, doing some informal counseling with them, or they may be in a classroom teaching a law-related education block to students.
That's Mo Kennedy. He's the executive director for the National Association of School Resource Officers, and he previously spent about 12 and a half years as an SRO in Hoover, Alabama. And here's Chris Mallett. He's a professor of social work at Cleveland State University who's researched police in schools.
SROs do not make schools safer, but that's not because of what an SRO is doing or not doing. It's because incidents are so infrequent and violence has decreased on campuses for two decades.
Mo Kennedy, the former SRO, starts by explaining the role these officers have on school campuses.
They are deployed in the aspect of community-based policing. So this is really at the core about relationship building. They should be bridging the gap between law enforcement and youth and building positive relationships. There must be proper collaboration between school districts and law enforcement agencies. They have to be partnered in this process, which helps us to kind of lay down the pathway for what this program is going to look like so that we are doing this together in partnership.
Is there a general protocol for school resource officers on how or whether they should intervene in a school shooting?
First of all, I'm going to say that I don't think it is as consistent across the country as it needs to be. We don't train every SRO in this country or every school police officer in this country. I wish that we did. But certainly in our basic course, we get right to the point that no longer, and this is post-Columbine, no longer can we stand and wait for help if we're the SRO. We have got to go and attack the problem. We have got to go and stop this immediately. Every second we wait, there's the potential that young people are losing their lives, and teachers as well. So our point on this is we have to be prepared to go direct to threat. And what that means, really the difficult balance here is in finding the right officer to fit in that school environment. This has to be an officer that really has a passion for working with youth, has the ability to get into a classroom and help youth learn about our juvenile justice and criminal justice system, and at the flip of a switch, be the best tactical officer any department has to offer.
Chris, I want to bring you in here to sort of get a sense for how unusual the charges against Peterson are and why that is.
Scott Peterson is a real outlier. My experience and knowledge of those officers who are SROs is that they are not Scott Peterson. His reaction, his inability to handle the situation, but also being charged with 11 counts is not the norm for police officers in general, let alone SROs.
There's been a rise in the number of school resource officers across the country, Chris, and I'm wondering why that is. What's leading to this increased presence of law enforcement in schools?
Well, it's really been a long time coming. There's a couple of things that happened back in the 90s, and Mo mentioned Columbine, which was one factor that led to the 1994 federal law that required expulsion of a student for weapon possession. And it also included, for the first time, federal funding for school resource officers. And a couple of factors that happened in the 90s, one in the juvenile justice system and the one that impacted the schools. The approach to juvenile justice and the more heavy-handed approach to locking up young people was quite detrimental and quite impactful on on a lot of disadvantaged students, but that also happened in the schools with the zero tolerance policy that coincided with the increased security measures across all schools. And that also has led to a lot of unintended consequences, not just SRO related, but student exclusion related, also impacting students with disabilities and racial and ethnic disparities in punishment.
I want to get into the sort of disparities that you're mentioning there in a little bit, Chris, because I think these are really important in terms of the broader conversation. Going back to just a second to Officer Peterson here, I'm wondering, Mo, you know, there's a lot of criticism and obviously now even more than criticism about how Peterson handled the shooting. With your expertise, what should Peterson have done?
You know, Chris used a good phrase a minute ago, outlier, and Florida is kind of an outlier as far as our association goes because it's a state where we do not train school-based police officers. They do their own training in Florida. So part of the answer to that is I don't know how he was trained. That's part of the problem for me in trying to answer any of this. I've seen the footage. I've talked with several folks who have been involved in the investigation. Clearly, there's an issue here when you've got someone standing at a door for the length of time he did. That's not the way we would train anyone. Again, I'll go back to say this is direct-to-threat type issue. You've got shots fired in a building. You have to assume you're dealing with an active shooter event. You have to pursue that threat and stop it before more lives are lost.
I want to drill down a little bit more into that, Mo, because is an SRO, is a school resource officer expected to take down a shooter, expected to essentially give their lives in an effort to remove the threat?
I'm going to say absolutely. And if they're not willing to do that, they don't deserve to be in that position. This is a situation where, again, we're looking for when I say we, I'm talking about law enforcement agencies all around, should be looking for the absolute right person for that job. So this selection process is critically important in terms of assigning the right officer to that position. It's the most unique position in law enforcement. There's nothing else like it. It's the most high-profile position in law enforcement. For good or for bad, you better make sure you're putting the right officer in that position. And then you better make sure they are specifically trained.
Now, Mo, there's another added element here. We talked about you're not training officers in the state of Florida. Specific to the state of Florida, there's now an effort to arm teachers. I'm curious if you see that as a positive or something that could actually have a negative impact on the work that SROs are supposed to do.
We've been very outspoken in terms of our belief that the most appropriate person to be armed in a school environment is a carefully selected, specifically trained officer, an SRO. We believe those are the folks that should be armed and prepared to protect the school. I hate to see this. I hate to see this situation pushed onto educators. They've already got enough on their plate, and I hate to see them in a situation where they've got to be armed on top of that and possibly have to take the life of a student who in many cases is the shooter. I think that'd be pretty difficult.
I want to go back to a point that Chris made earlier, and this is about more broadly looking at the role of school resource officers and their presence in schools. We know that the presence is increasing, but along with that, we also have seen over the course of the past few years in particular, video evidence and statistical evidence that students of color tend to be the targets of school discipline more aggressively. And so I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about the role that SROs have in schools and why we see those disparities, Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really a difficult balance with not just for an SRO in a school, but for the policy of how do you keep schools safe, but then how do you balance security, safety measures, and education? Not surprisingly, over the last 15 years, as school resource officers have a larger presence on campus, we've seen the arrest of students on campus rise by about 500%. That's not surprising because prior to that, there were no officers on campus, or very few. That may or may not be a problem in and of itself, but it did lead to sort of that phrase that's commonly called the school-to-prison pipeline, where school incidents led to a more speedy entry into the juvenile justice system. The unintended problem, and explanations for this are still not clear, is that disproportionately the arrest and the referrals to the juvenile justice system have been very disparate for minority youth. So depending on the school district makeup, it would be Black or Latino, Hispanic or Native American youth who are disproportionately referred from schools and arrested for various incidents, from violent acts, but also all the way to just misbehaving and some other low-level offenses.
Mo, how much does racial bias awareness and training factor into the training that you do with the officers you work with?
I really appreciate you asking that. This is something that's very near and dear to our heart as well, something we're very focused on. We don't want to see students of any race or culture unnecessarily pushed into the juvenile justice system. We, in our basic SRO course, a few years ago, we added a pretty significant block around cultural issues and especially implicit bias. We've also added a great deal of information in terms of helping SROs understand better how to de-escalate issues. We have a significant block on special education and understanding special needs students. Also added into that is a pretty significant piece on understanding adolescent brain development. And those types of pieces in our basic training, it usually surprises people that we've got that in law enforcement training. I think it needs to be in all law enforcement training. But I think that's had a significant impact on the folks who are part of our association. There's also a play on this into the issue of discipline, of student discipline. SROs shouldn't be there to mete out formal discipline. That belongs to the school district, and we're very clear on that in our training. And if I could add one more thing, this issue came up in 2013. I was testifying before a U.S. congressional committee, and one of the congressional leaders asked me, was our association making a push for more officers in schools? And my answer was, I believe every school in this country could benefit from a carefully selected, specifically trained SRO. But what we're more concerned about is officers working in schools who don't belong there and who are not properly trained. That's always going to be a concern of ours and one that we're always going to want to address.
Mo Kennedy is Executive Director for the National Association of School Resource Officers, and he himself spent 12 and a half years as a school resource officer in Hoover, Alabama. And Christopher Mallett is Professor of Social Work at Cleveland State University. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Dale from St. Louis, Missouri. I see no reason why there should not be police in every school in today's climate. My son got along fine with the resource officer. He was always there to talk to somebody if need be. And I think it's absolutely necessary. It's not an option. It's a necessity nowadays.
My name's Carl Findling. I live in Bend, Oregon. I first was skeptical of putting police officers in schools. Turned to be exactly the opposite. The interactions are fabulous in our community and has had very positive outcomes.
This is Henry calling from Buffalo, New York. I'm an African-American male with three sons, and I sent them to private school, that being one of the reasons why. They do not be harassed by police or questioned by police, particularly for something minor as stealing a pencil or talking back to a teacher.
Call us at 877-8MYTAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.